Hello, this is Matt Hill on Resonance 104.4 FM, bringing you Art Monthly, its regular programme, which surprisingly is monthly. We come on Resonance and we talk to writers in the current issue about their text, usually trying to catch them out if we can, but not in a nasty way. And this issue, we're joined by Stephanie Schwartz, who is a lecturer at the University College London. Stephanie, what do you lecture in?
Mostly history photography, focusing on American art practices in the 20s and 30s.
20s and 30s. Well, your feature, which is in the issue for June, and it's number 347 of Art Monthly, is entitled Photography as Work. I'm not sure whether that's our title or your title.
No, that's my title.
It is. Yeah. And our heading says, you question the utopian potential of digital photography. I've read it, obviously, and basically you are situating it around writing about an exhibition at the Reina Sofía Centre in Madrid, aren't you? What was the exhibition?
The exhibition was an exhibition called A Hard, Merciless Light that covered the workers' photography movement between 1926 and 1939. Internationally, so it was unique in that aspect, in that it didn't just focus on the German and Soviet context for the workers' photography movement, and really looked at the spread of this movement between 1926, when the movement started, through the Popular Front period.
So, where other than the two countries you just mentioned, where did they come from?
Well, in the show, the photographs came from. They kind of, as I pointed out in the review, kind of trace a metropolitan area. So you have London, New York, Mexico City, Prague, Vienna. And so the curator tried to think about the expansion of this movement beyond the kind of the German and Soviet.
Which you're saying is like the known normal historic for
historical. Right, so that it was, I mean, it's an interesting question because he was arguing that in one way he's arguing that you have to look at the international aspect of the movement, which relates very nicely to the history of photography as a quote-unquote form of democratization, which would allow you to have images circulate. So the fact that the movement started within magazines and newspapers and things like that. But one of the interesting things that comes out of the show is whether there was actually workers' photography movements in these other places. It's not something that I addressed much in the review, but...
Can I just ask you, what is a workers' photography movement?
Right, I mean, that's the question. So one would argue that it comes out of specifically an attempt to create a kind of proletariat public sphere through taking up a kind of bourgeois technology, like...
What's bourgeois technology? What do we mean by that?
Well, new technologies like photography and film that had been used by... the kind of capitalist public sphere. And, you know, the classic example would be, say, kind of the rise of Hollywood practices. And that the question for the kind of communist international was whether should we reject these technologies completely because they're already necessarily capitalist, or should we work from within the system and use them as a way to kind of stage what one would argue is kind of a revolution.
And this is when they became available to... the possibility of them being used by many more people. Is that what we...
Yeah, I mean, the movement definitely has within it a rise of amateur photography practices. So this idea that you don't have to be a trained practitioner in order to pick up a camera and be a photographer. And so when the call was published in 1926 for photographers to basically go out and photograph their working conditions, the idea was that... it's within a kind of amateur photography movement, that the technology was available. I mean, it's part of within the history of photography, this idea that you have to be a skilled practitioner in order to take a photograph.
Yeah. So the workers were taking photographs of fellow workers, say.
Right. I mean, their daily life, their families.
Sure.
I mean, and so that's where the category a bit breaks down is what I talk about in the review, how at the end of the show he begins to focus on kind of professional photographers like Robert Capa and Cartier-Bresson. Yeah. And so the question of whether this really fits into a workers' photography movement.
Whether those later were... Yes, yeah. I mean, the people we've illustrated it with are Roger Schall, farm workers from 1935, and Grigory Zelma, workers building a blast furnace, Moscow, 1930. I mean, those are the kind of... They're the workers' movement photographs you're talking about. I don't know if we used actually illustrations of the latter end of the exhibition. I don't think we did. But
yeah, there's...
Are they from the same period?
Well, no, because the movement... So the most of the original... The movement begins in 26.
Right.
And has Some would say it ends pretty quickly by 30, 31. And then what happens in the final phase of the show, or at least is when photographers, more professional photographers, start to work not necessarily from within the same issues around workers and communism, but begin to the whole question shifts against a relationship between capitalism and communism, and between fascism and capitalism. So the rise of the Spanish Civil War and the Popular Front. So the whole, in some way, both historically and kind of formally, the movement, some would argue, breaks down at this moment in the late 30s. Yet I think he included that in the show because he wants to show you those kind of historical shifts, whereas some could say, well, that should have been completely left out of the show because it's not a workers' photography.
And we're talking about the curator being Jorge Ribalta.
Yes.
Thank you for correcting me. Sorry. It looks J-O-R-G-E, which is why I said George. Maybe it is George. Is he from? He's Spanish.
Yeah.
Now, just to get back, because Art Monthly is known as being a contemporary visual art magazine, and we're talking about work from the 20s on, and people will think, well, why are they doing that? It's not contemporary art. But you begin your feature, not a review, by the way, feature, it's more interesting than just being a review because it's nice and long, by talking about the current uses of digital photography by people, so particularly with their phones, don't you? And there is a kind of comparison. Are you making this comparison between the exhibition in Madrid and current uses of photography being done by everybody in an amateur quote unquote use? Is that your what analogy are you trying to make there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm making an analogy so much as suggesting that I'm raising the question of, is this one way to historicize these kinds of I feel like when if the show has potential to ask questions for contemporary art practice or as a contemporary subject, using these kinds of amateur technologies, we all have these, most of us, at least in the developed world.
Yeah, which we need to state, though, because it's not everyone in the world. You do say that. There's a certain missing factor, isn't there?
That one of, you could write a review of the show that only deals with the historical questions, but if this, for this context, I wanted to raise the questions about how the question of amateur photography and having access to technology, is it, is there a utopian potential to that or not? And so that was the question I was raising. But specifically, one of the questions that I wanted to get to was, how does the media portray? So it's a kind of doubled question. It's not just how we use the media, but how does our use of the media become portrayed as revolutionary?
Yes, and where does the stuff we take get used, and how is it used? I mean, obviously, you talk about Facebook, Flickr, and We Media as places where people put it up themselves, but you suggest then, I think, that the news corporations may actually take some of that, and then we see it again in a different context on the news.
That's kind of the title is supposed to play on both of these aspects. So one way, photography as work, one would argue, is what the workers' photography were doing, because they were it became part of labor to be a photographer and work for the state, work within the production of a communist.
You mean recording that production going on?
Yeah.
Yes.
But at the same time, the argument the argument that I was trying to kind of elucidate is that today, when one takes up these technologies and produces these stories for what we now call kind of Web 2.0 or user-generated content platforms, in which you're allowed to, say, write the news that isn't being written or is being banned because of censorship or, these kinds of obsessions we have with transparency.
I think you call it it's the news that's left out.
Right. Well, that's the argument. Like, I think the tagline for one of these websites, Demontex.com, which takes its name from Demos, the people, is that it's the news by you. And it seems to me that I'm suggesting that they're basically arguing it's a kind of new 21st century tagline against the kind of 19th century tagline of the New York Times, which is all the news that's fit to print.
That's right, all news is fit to print. That's right. The one I was thinking of, yeah.
So the argument is that we have the potential to finally put in the media what the media doesn't want us to put in the media. I mean, it's related, I think, to larger questions around kind of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and those kinds of obsessions with transparency, that we've become kind of obsessed. I think we've become kind of obsessed with transparency, and that inevitably seems to be seen as a kind of political, a productive political move, that we just have to kind of be transparent, that if things are transparent, therefore...
Well, this is the crutch, isn't it? Yeah. If they're transparent, then what?
Well, the assumption is that it's not propaganda in some kind of way. Whereas my argument is that, A, that is impossible. You know, it's impossible to kind of get outside the media. And you can't, if you're either in the media, there's no outside of propaganda, which is what the lesson of the show is, what I was trying to say.
Right, this is the thing, yeah. Because you're saying that the people in the exhibition whose photographs were the early photographs, that they couldn't escape.
Right,
in some way.
That
is
was
that
the
what
point.
You mean?
So what I was saying before about whether you take up these technologies or not, what I think the lesson from the Workers' Photography Show is that, or from the movement, is that you have to take up these technologies. You use them maybe in a very similar way that the conservative press was using them. But, you know, and one of the agenda might not just be to show what was being masked by the conservative media, say, like awful working conditions or the plight of the workers, but it's to show that there is no such thing as a kind of objective document, that everything is being manipulated. And so the way in which the show worked was to show you the different forms of mediation. So the show had films, magazines, photographs, films, and posters. And so it was showing you the multiple channels of mediation. And I think that lesson has been lost by this idea that if we have access to these new forms of technology, then inevitably we can just tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And so...
i.e. digital equals truth somehow.
Right,
digital on the web equals truth. Is that...
Or the fact that we get to write the news means it's truthful in some kind
Yeah,
of
I mean,
way.
Certainly as a listener to the Radio 4 news or watching the news on the television, you are quite often currently, because of the Middle East... changes, as we're led to believe, you know, you see lots of these wobbly shots of people in the street, and it is quite hard to tell sometimes whether or not something they're saying is happening is actually what you're seeing.
It's always being mediated.
Which is interesting. To me, what's interesting is that I've become more conscious. I mean, I've always kind of known, I don't mean that to sound clever, but I've always known that what's being shown isn't necessarily the truth, but now it seems because it's got this wobbly and it's being given over as a
it's a sign or a convention.
Yeah,
that
so
it's
then
truthful.
You kind of I kind of find myself questioning it a bit more.
Right, but I think that what are called UGCs or user generated content platforms are supposed to suggest is that it'll give you alternative to what you're kind of seeing.
Well, yeah.
On it. But the point of the title was that on the one hand you have photography as work within a politicized workers' photography movement. But this idea is that, which I close with, is that we've all just become workers for the media because we're making the images that then they use and put on their websites. I mean, all of these websites that, like Demontex and I'm not sure so much of We Media because I haven't spent that much time with that website, but they all have links to major news channels. And so the idea is they're pushing you to not just take photographs and put them up and give you... and do the work of the media for them, because the media doesn't have enough staff to actually go out and take all of these pictures, so people do it for them. But then the whole idea is that you can sell those images. So there's still
there's a kind of hope which generates more imagery that might get on the real news.
Right, so it just kind of, I feel like, collapses on itself.
Yeah.
Or the utopian potential, I'm arguing, kind of collapses on itself.
There's some various phrases in the piece which I mean I find intriguing, and only as sort of it'd be nice to clarify them really. I mean I'm taking them out of specific content, so I'll just give this a try, see if it works. But I've underlined the current debate tends to naturalise an anti-realist discourse. What concerning photography? Now that's Ribalta, the curator, saying that in one thing. He also says In a catalogue, I think, for another exhibition, which was at the Musée d'Art Contemporain in Barcelona in 2008, that spectralisation of digital photography trivialised the document. Now, that now, having what you just said earlier in the programme, makes more sense to me. But what's the... tends to naturalise an anti-realist discourse. What do you think he means? Is that an unfair question?
No. I mean, it comes out of an interview that he did in relationship to this show, I believe.
That's right. It's in a magazine called Photo 8.
Right.
Yes.
So basically the Workers' Photography Show is, I don't think, he never says this, but it is in some way a part of a trilogy of shows that he did around this question of the document, in which... In this case, in the case of the Reina Sofia show, the current show, he didn't necessarily focus on contemporary. He ends in 39, but in the other two shows, he really tries to do a span, a kind of re-scripting of the history of photography, so that this Universal Archive show went, it had a moment in, I mean, I think it actually started with the invention of photography and goes all the way to 2008. Right. So he's spanning from analog to digital. I think asking some of the questions that I, you know, want to ask in this piece about what the what happens to the potential of the document once you have digital, because the idea of digital photography is, I think what he's getting at is that the claims of digital photography is that realism don't matter anymore because it's so constructed. There's no referent.
Sure.
So you can always manipulate the image, right? And there's no, this idea that, so we've, so he, I think what he's saying is that it naturalizes this, that we, that what happens with digital photography is that one of the risks of the digital photography era is that we forget the lessons of the document and we just naturalize these kinds of processes of,
oh, I see what you're saying. They become almost like you don't think about it. You just,
so he wants us to, he, I don't think he's, I don't think he's, you know, he's also a photographer.
Right.
So I don't think he's necessarily saying digital photography bad, let's not do it.
No,
he's
no,
just
no.
saying we have to beware of the lessons of the digital, you know, and he's saying, I mean, I think he's not just saying like we have to be aware of the lessons of the digital era, but I think he's saying this is what the digital era teaches us and we have to. So the major goal that he's trying to do here, which I think is so important and is really left out of a lot of contemporary exhibitions that deal with photography, is that he really wants to rewrite a history of photography that puts the document, these kinds of documents, at the center, as opposed to just kind of a separate history. Because you could write a history of photography that's completely about the relationship between photography and artistic practices. And he's saying one of the lessons of the digital age, or I think what he's saying is one of the lessons of the digital age, is that we need to really reinvestigate the document. And so I think the three shows that he's doing, one of the shows was also on the photographer Joe Spence.
Yeah.
Which is part of this history in the 70s in British.
Where was that on? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
She, I mean, I know her work a bit.
Okay.
I mean, sort of feminist,
yeah.
Documented
her, I mean,
her
really own illness and things. It's really interesting that, I mean, he dedicates the catalog to this show to her.
Oh, really?
So that moment in the 70s in Britain was really, really important to him to, yes, begin to kind of rethink these things.
Yeah.
And so I think what he's doing and what I think is an important, I mean, clearly I'm very, it's a positive review of the show, even
yeah,
though
well,
I'm,
that's okay.
Yeah, no, even though I'm kind of critical of some of the discourse around it, I think one of the things that he's doing is really, that's really important, is to get us to start to write these history, these other histories of photography and think about the history of the document, or think about the history of its relationship to the history of modernism, and not as something outside of it.
No, I mean, it, as a fine artist student myself, I mean, you tend to think of, I mean, completely wrongly, I think of documentary photography as not being as of such interest as other photography. But then I was surprised when Joe Spence turned up, say, because right. I didn't know, categorization seemed to fall away and become unimportant, really, because it was very personal and very beautiful in many ways, politically and emotionally. And, you know, so I can completely agree that it is an important thing to try and do, a very difficult thing to try and do. But also, he's an educationist, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
What do you mean by?
Well, I mean, his exhibition, his curating,
yes,
of exhibition, which is sort of teaching people to question what.
Yeah, they're very,
do you think?
It's very didactic. The exhibition itself, but also, he chose not to do a kind of, which makes sense. I think it would be weird to do a kind of coffee table catalog with the show and have these big images. So the catalog, it does have images in it, but it's basically a primer in which he reproduces the texts that were published with the photographs in the original journals, as well as some contemporary articles by academics who are interested in historicizing some of these moments. So it's incredibly valuable text, because a lot of these texts have either never been translated or never been republished. So he is, you know, that is definitely part of his agenda, is to educate.
Yeah. I mean, he says things like political work is never about gathering the truth, which I found, I thought, blimey. That's because why does he say that?
Well, I think it goes back to the point that I was making, that I think that one of the lessons of this moment is that the lesson of the document is not to get the truth. The lesson of the document is to show us that the access to truth is impossible.
Literally impossible.
Well, yeah, because everything is mediated. That's
yes. So as soon as you mediate the truth falls away.
So if he had just done a show where he framed these images and put them on the wall, then he would have been suggesting that, A, he would have been aestheticizing them, and B, he would have been suggesting that what we're looking for in these images is some kind of information or content. But basically the way that the show was set up is that he has all the photographs, well, he has, you know, a traditional kind of museum photographs frames on the wall, and then there's all these vitrines in which the photographs, you see their original
print, the magazine as they were on the page. Or...
And so you instantly see, and he had to do both, not just because it was a museum, but it forces you, that kind of what you were saying, a kind of didactic experience, when you're to see the difference between a framed image on
yes.
a wall
yes.
and where it was originally produced, which was in relation to not just, you know, in relation to a text, in relation to other photographs, in relation to captions, in relation to a masthead, in,
yeah.
and in relation to a whole other, the media as such. And so
once sociological and anthropological right. kind of examination, in a way, almost of the...
Right, so once you get that, you realize that the goal is not truth. I mean, this is kind of how I close the... What do I say?
Sorry, can't help me there for a second.
Well, that the difference between reality and fiction, or amateur and professional, did not really matter. So those are, I think, those, what he's teaching us is that we've created those binaries and projected them back. And what the show really forces us to do is, in some way, kind of get rid of those binaries, because these photographers working for the workers' photography movement, some of them were amateurs, but they were also professional because they were working as photojournalists. We just have a very different conception of that term now, because it means something else, and a lot of times it means something bad because
yeah.
it's connected with the media, or, you know, the mainstream media. And so I think he's asking us to reinvestigate some of those terms.
Yeah. If you were to, and I presume he didn't, but in the show, the equivalent of showing the photograph in the magazine as well as having the photograph on its own in its original, say, printed from a negative in a frame, mm-hmm. would be, say, to show the imagery up on one of the websites where it was first placed, and
right.
then show it again when used in the news item on the BBC or wherever it was then. I mean, I can't think of that sounds like an equivalent. Do you think that's it is?
Right, it would be, as I guess, kind of upload where it was uploaded to Flickr, when
yeah,
it was put on
yeah.
one of these indie media websites, and then how it ended up, say, you know, in another news platform.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound as complicated or as interesting, really.
But one of the things that was also striking about the show, which I try to deal with a little bit, is how different the way in which he curates photography from the way in which the way in which photography has become curated in the kind of big picture kind of photographs.
You mean, say, a Robert Mapplethorpe show, for instance?
Or
use
the example of Jeff Wall, or...
Yes, right, yes, yes.
Is that he completely steers away from any of the, like, bells and whistles of, like, that you see now in kind of big museum shows. I mean, the Reina Sofía is, you know, a big...
That's the kind of show they do.
Yeah, no, I don't, I mean, I don't know if it's that, but it's like now the museums are so geared towards education in the way of having, that you could go and... You would see everything on a web page instead of actually putting it for you in the space, and he actually puts it in the space for you, as opposed to just saying, "Oh, you can flip through the magazine on kind of."
Gotcha.
He gets he doesn't want to do that.
No, I mean, he insists on it being
right.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he did a whole, supplementary program where he screened a whole bunch of films related to this period, which are oftentimes very difficult to see. And then he invited a contemporary photographer, Alan Sekula, to speak and show one of his new films. And so he's not getting...
No, he does show the contemporary...
It is about a contemporary question.
Yeah.
And so that's really what I was trying to do here, is to kind of tease out what the contemporary question is.
What was Sekula's film? Do you remember? What was it?
Yeah, they've reprinted a still from it. It's called The Forgotten Space.
That's right.
And it's...
I mean, that shows a huge office with lots of desks and thousands of people working in one massive...
Yeah, I haven't actually seen the film because it was screened in Madrid and I was...
No,
I
but it is a kind of film of workers, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's related to a work that he did in 1995 called Fish Story, which is about, like, global sea trade. And so he's, again, working within these systems, but more in relation to globalization and the kind of migrations of workers.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think we've covered your feature pretty well. I'm sure there's more to ask you. I'm still quite interested by this idea of, in the title of the show, being called Hard Light.
Right.
Because, I mean, what does that mean? What does he? What does that?
Well, it comes out of the title of the show. I talk about
a hard, merciless light.
A hard, merciless light.
Yeah.
Comes from one of the essays that was central to the organization of the movement, and this idea that. I mean, it's interesting now, it's going back to this idea that photojournalism might necessarily be kind of like a bad thing, is that there's an obsession within kind of media critiques that what photojournalism is supposed to do is kind of create compassion, so that this kind of, you know, you're supposed to have an ethical response to an image such that you might want to give money to
charity,
you know.
No, I wanted to admit, I'm glad you brought that, because that was an aspect I'd forgotten about that part of the piece.
And so one of the agendas of the worker photography movement, you know, slated in its early documents was that it's not about compassion.
No.
Because that's what they would argue is that's kind of a bourgeois.
Was that out of pride, do you think, that came? Or do you think it was because they didn't want... Well, why wouldn't they want to be...
No, I think it's because this idea... Because it assumes that... It assumes a certain model of a human subject that necessarily should be eclipsed under a communist revolution. And so it goes back to the very agenda of what the show is about. So
I mean, they didn't want to present themselves as at all vulnerable or I mean, in that...
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's a different conception of this.
Yeah.
The human
so
subject.
But you're seen as proud, functioning people in the workers' revolution.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but I think it's also just a kind of... There's this, you know, using the same technology but doing it towards a different kind of end. So it basically strips it of a kind of this humanist spirit that photographs that kind of placate to your emotions.
Yes.
So it was a kind of that was
to be wiped out.
Right. So in Spanish, I think it sounds much better than in English
because
it's sin compasión. So that means merciless. So it's like actually without compassion.
Okay, I've got it. Well, without compassion, I think I'm going to have to wind the show up fairly soon. It's been really good talking to you, Stephanie. That's Stephanie Schwartz, who wrote a feature in Art Monthly's June edition called Photography as Work, which is available now. You may wish to subscribe to Art Monthly and you wouldn't have to go out to the shops to buy it. That's a 30% reduction to Resonance listeners as well. And you can email subs@artmonthly.co.uk. Hope you've enjoyed the programme. As I say, we're monthly. We're back next month. That'll be... No, actually, yes, we will be. It'll be another piece from the same magazine will happen in August, because we've got a double issue, July, August. But thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Stephanie.
You're welcome. Thank you.